treat people the way you want to be treated. It's simple.
I'd like to welcome Dave Delaney to the Productivityist Podcast. Dave, thanks for joining me today, eh?
Thanks for having me, you hosehead.
Oh, man, when I get Canadians on, it's awesome. Because now we can actually just start talking about hockey and we can talk
about... I'm a weird one because I'll be dropping A's and y'alls.
Yeah, you're in that. Yeah, you're in that. And what's interesting is... and I've talked to people about this before, is because I've spent so much time now on the West Coast, the accent isn't as pronounced. Like, I mean, when I growing up in Ontario, you definitely get that nasally kind of the abouts start to show up and things like that. But once you move west, it kind of dissipates a little bit, right? I think east to west, the Canadian accent kind of alters to the point where when you get to the West Coast, you have to sometimes really pay attention.
Yeah, for sure.
But we can talk about niceness because Canadians are nice. And the reason I want to have you on the program is to talk about just the importance of being nice. I mean, I know that this is a productivity podcast and time management and all that stuff, but, before we start recording, I shared with you some of the stuff I put on my to-do list that I put on there just so I can make sure that I'm being nice. Right. And I want to talk to you a little bit about when you started your newsletter, which we'll link to in the show notes, why did you decide to lean into the idea of niceness?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I started getting disillusioned with how much negativity is online. You know, as a, you know, like you, I'm an early adopter to social media, you know, back when it was called new media. And, you know, using social networks to network nicely and to meet new people and to connect with one another, you know, it was very much that. And then we had like, you know, summer camps to go to, which were basically in the, you know, in the form of like South by Southwest or any of the bar camps or pod camps and so on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but these social networks started getting noisy, filled with kind of trolls and just some negativity. And I thought, you know, it's time to just start focusing on a little more positivity, and a little niceness.
So I've watched the series Ted Lasso. Have you watched it yet on Apple TV?
I've watched some of the episodes for sure. Yeah. At the beginning.
As soon as we start thinking about that term nice, I mean, that character to me embodies that, you know what I mean? In a lot of ways, maybe to his detriment to a point. Where, if you haven't watched that show, by the way, if you're listening to this, which you should be, because I mean, if not, why are you even, what's going on then? If you haven't had a chance to listen to watch the show yet, it's really good. And I know Brené Brown had, Jason Sudeikis and Brendan Hunt on her show to talk about it.
Yeah. She's been talking about the show for a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's in love with it. Is there a line? Is there like, you know, a line between being just nice enough, like plenty of nice, as opposed to going overboard with it?
Well, I mean, I suppose so, but I don't know what that line really is. Like, I think you can be, you can be strategically over nice. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of this. When I was a kid, it might be my most popular blog post, but I wrote a blog post a long time ago called How to Fend Off a Jerk. And so a million years ago, give or take, I worked for a full service gas station and I was a gas attendant or a petroleum exchange engineer, as we like to call ourselves. I got this jerk coming in from time to time with this Porsche, and he was like a big, you know, he thought he was a big shot or whatever. And he's very rude. And anyway, and I would always be steaming, but when I came back into the office after serving him, cause he was just so rude to me. And my boss pulled me aside and he's like, Dave, he's like, be nice. I'm like, I know, I am nice. I try to be nice. And he's like, no. The nicer you are in that situation, the you'll have fun with it. And he can't complain, because you can't complain when someone is too nice. And I'm like, what? So he came in again and he was a big jerk like usual. And I'm like, how are you, sir? You know, have a nice day, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And I was like that. And I came in laughing afterwards as he kind of left frustrated with the fact that he couldn't piss me off. So it was kind of a win-win all around.
You know, I've seen that happen before. And having worked in at Costco for a number of years, did that ever happen? Because there was a sense of entitlement too. Like some members of Costco figure that because they pay their money, they can treat people however they want. And that's just not true. And I mean, even on social media, as we were talking about, like this sense of because it's my platform, my page, I can, you know, or because I'm friends with this person, I can comment on their page and be however I want to be. I don't have to be nice. There's got to be some rules of decorum that I think people need to really kind of pay attention to, right?
Right. The number one rule, I mean, this is what I teach my kids all the time and like it drives them crazy because I say it so much, but it's treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yep.
It's simple, right? If you want to be treated like a jerk, then you know what to do. But the truth is that if you can treat other people nicely, then, you know, they will in turn, you know, do that for you. And it may not be that person, but, you know, well, it'll work out.
Well, and it's a habit too. You mentioned, you know, when you had that, vitriolic customer and how when you got done with him, you were like laughing because you felt like you killed him with niceness. But once you start doing that, like, and it doesn't have to be to that overt of a level, but it becomes part of the fabric of how you operate. And then I think niceness can lead to happiness, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're spreading some sunshine in people's lives and you're actually being a positive person, then it absolutely can come back. And, you know, just that example of overdoing it in that crazy way, not that I'm suggesting you do that with everyone, but you know, it made me feel better afterwards. And, you know, so he didn't get his way in trying to upset me. And instead, quite the opposite happened. And I was actually laughing about it after. So, yeah.
So if somebody's trying to adopt that kind of mentality, you know, and they're like, you know what, and if we're being honest with each other, like, I mean, there's moments there, you're all going to have moments because we're human, right? But how do you make that intention something that is sticky, that you're like, you know what, I'm going to start operating in a nicer fashion, but I want to make sure I do that. So how can I go about it?
Right. Well, I think empathy is the key thing, right? So I think putting yourself in the shoes of the people that you're interacting with, you know, throughout your day. So just thinking about what is going on in their minds, what is going on, you know, an example of this would be like, you know, actually, it's funny, you know, so I'm from Toronto originally, and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee about 13 years ago. When I first moved from Toronto to Nashville, I was at a stoplight and the light turned green and the woman did not move. And as soon as it turned green, I was blaring my horn at her. And my wife, Heather, who's from Nashville, but also lived in Toronto, like elbowed me in the stomach basically and said, "What are you doing?" And she reamed me out. And I'm like, "What? We don't do that here." I'm like, "What?" And so sure enough, as I pulled up next to the woman, not intentionally, but I ended up next to her, she looked distraught and upset. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." Right. So now like it's funny now, because if I'm at a stoplight, I'm not saying I won't toot my horn lightly if they've missed it, but I give them a second to think, like, maybe their mind is off. Maybe they're thinking about a stress in their life for a second, you know, like maybe they're thinking of something else and they just didn't realize the light changed. And I think that's a thing, right? Like people are going through difficult times, difficult things, especially in this day and age where all sorts of craziness is happening. It's important to keep that in mind and be empathetic to the person you're interacting with.
When you think of the word nice, I know some people think it's could be a little milquetoast, right? Like it's like the word fine, right? You know, where it's I'm fine. How is that? Oh, that's nice. It's almost a throwaway. How do you keep it from being a throwaway?
Well, to me, it's not a matter like the number one thing in being nice, first and foremost, is being nice to yourself. Right. And sometimes that means standing up for yourself. And maybe it won't be a nice situation as a result in a situation where you need to stand up for yourself. So being nice to yourself is the key thing first and foremost, so that you can be nice to other people. That's how I handle it. That's how I think about it.
And I mean, let's lean into the area of expertise that you have, because you're a communications expert, right? Like that's where you, mm-hmm. you generally spend a lot of your time, right?
Right.
So how do you translate nice behavior into nice communication or vice versa? Because I think some people, is it the cart before the horse situation? Like how does that work? Because I think there's some people that, you know, they act as if, you know, as opposed to being authentic as if, you know what I mean? So how do you navigate that?
I think it's just a matter of, and you're saying in a sense of dealing with like a client or
yeah. Well, or I think, I think we'll talk about generalized first. So, you know, I mean, the actions of being nice versus the how it's communicated. Right. Because I mean, mm-hmm. again, I know you can only control the message. You can only control what you're sending out. You can't necessarily control how it's interpreted, but you, there should be some ways for you to, like you said, with, again, back to the gas station story where you were so nice that, obviously us hearing the story is like, well, you were clearly being over the top and that guy probably took it as like, okay, I get it, but he may not have, right? So you can't control that. So how do you, I guess like I was saying is it the behavior first, communication second, like, or can it work either way?
Yeah, I think it can work either way, but I think the way we communicate with one another is so important. You know, some of my background comes from improv, mm-hmm. and using skills from improv to improve the way you communicate. And that in turn is actually a nice thing. So what happens is I do a presentation virtually and in person called the Master Communicator Secret Weapon. And in that talk, I reveal that secret weapon is improv. So don't tell anyone. but the keys and straight away people are like, oh gosh. And I'm not suggesting everybody join an improv troupe or train in improv or something necessarily. But what I'm saying is from that example, like the three key things that you take away from improv is not to fear failure, is to listen, to actively listen, to listen effectively, you know, and to lead with empathy and acceptance. Right. So using skills like that in your day to day makes you a nicer communicator as a result of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally does. And I've got improv background too. So I totally hear what you're saying in terms of right. that, you know, the idea of yes and things like that, like acceptance and not block all those rules that you get with improv basically allow you to be a nice person to be on stage with.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, the yes and thing is a perfect example of this, you know, and it's something that I use in my presentation about that. And in my training, when I'm working with a company, you know, like the story I always share is about a company that I worked for where I pitched an idea for a product when I was asked to do so. And the CEO of the company said, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And I felt like a big fat zero. Right. Mm. And I never suggested another idea while I was at that company. What he could have said though is yes. And let's talk about it after the meeting so I could find out more about it. Like, you know, I'd like to learn more about what your thoughts are, or yes. And let's talk to sales and see if this is something our customers are asking for, or yes. And let's talk to customer service and see if this is an issue that we've heard about or what have you, but having that yes. And sort of mindset, you know, that leading with acceptance mindset, you know, it doesn't mean that you accept every idea mm-hmm. necessarily, yep. right? Because that would be crazy. But it allows you to be more open-minded. And when, you know, you're more open-minded with the people that you meet and the people that you interact with day to day, you know, the better those experiences become for both you and that person.
Okay, it's time to take a break from the conversation now to talk about our sponsors. If you've looked at the podcast artwork, you know I wear glasses. I need to wear glasses. I won't see very well without them. And if I'm looking to pick up a quality pair of glasses or contacts or anything that I put, you know, on my nose to help me deal better with my eyes, I'm going to do that with Warby Parker. Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores, offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses. And glasses start at $95, and that includes prescription lenses, sunglasses, progressives, and blue light lenses. They're also all available. And the styles that Warby Parker offers range from extra narrow to extra wide, and they fit all face shapes. In fact, there's an app, and I've got my iPad Pro, so I'm looking at it using the app to figure out what glass style would look best on me, and it works really, really well. We're in the holiday season right now, so in order to get some to try on, it's not as easy to do right now considering where I am, but using the app gives me a great chance to see what would look great on my face. And I tell you, what Warby Parker has to offer totally does that. And Warby Parker now offers contact lenses, so if I'm wanting to be active, that works for me as well, and it can work for you too. They include their very own daily contact lens called Scout by Warby Parker. Scout is a comfortable, breathable, and affordable daily contact lens, and a 90-day pack is only $55. And in addition to Scout, they also carry a wide variety of other contact lens brands, including Acuvue and Biofinity. And if you're into sunglasses, well, they start at $95 and are available with prescription. So just like eyeglasses, their sunglasses are available through the home try-on program. You can also use the app to check them out as well. And Warby Parker sunglasses feature premium polarized lenses that are scratch resistant and provide 100% UV protection. I could go on talking about what Warby Parker has and what they can offer you. Now, as a productivity podcast listener, you're going to get a chance to try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. You can order 5 pairs of glasses to try at home for free for 5 days, and there's no obligation to buy. They ship for free and includes a prepaid return label. You try 5 pairs of glasses at home for free. Just go to warbyparker.com/timecrafting. That's Warby Parker, warbyparker.com/timecrafting, and get your 5 pairs to try at home for free. And as an end of the year treat, you can save 15% when you purchase 2 or more pairs of Warby Parker prescription eyewear. That includes eyeglasses or sunglasses. Now, this is a limited time offer that ends on December 31st, so you do not want to miss out on that. But let's get those 5 pairs of glasses for you to try at home for free. Again, go to warbyparker.com/timecrafting. Give that a go today. Your eyes and your wallet will thank you for it. The winter blues are a thing. You know, this is the time of year where the weather's kind of blah, and maybe you're feeling kind of exhausted, overwhelmed. 2020 hasn't exactly been the kindest year to a lot of people, myself included, and you need some help. Well, BetterHelp is an ideal place for you to go to get that help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can do this, have your sessions in a safe and private online environment, which your own home. It's so incredibly convenient. And you can start communicating with this matched licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. I've used BetterHelp for quite some time. I'm incredibly happy with it. And here's the thing. If you decide that maybe the schedule of the person they've matched you up with isn't really going to work, well, you know, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. And sometimes it's a scheduling thing. Well, they make it really easy and free to change counselors if needed. You get timely and thoughtful responses from your licensed professional therapist. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and you can send a message to your counselor at any time. Now, BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. So if you are feeling depressed, stressed out, you've got anxiety, you're having difficulty sleeping, you're having some anger management issues, maybe some grief, some self-esteem problems that you want to get resolved, BetterHelp can help you with that. Anything that you share is confidential. It's convenient. It's professional. It's affordable. It's BetterHelp. And I want you to give BetterHelp a try. So here's what you can do. Start living a happier life today by putting BetterHelp through the paces for yourself. As a Productivities Podcast listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/timecrafting. So again, visit our sponsor, betterhelp.com/timecrafting, and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health today. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timecrafting. Do it for yourself. Do it today. Get BetterHelp today. let's say you get a new MacBook under the tree this holiday season, or you've already got one, or you've got one that's on order, or you, like my wife who already has one, and you know, you're like, I want to put the best apps on this thing, the apps that are going to make this thing sing and make me more productive. Well, honestly, the best way to discover new quality apps, talked about it before, I won't stop talking about it, SetApp. It's a subscription for Mac apps. You're going to get all the tools you need to be successful and productive with SetApp. SetApp packs over 200 high quality apps into one. You know, there's an app for almost any task, so you can stay in your flow and finish what you started. Productivity is all not just about starting, it's about finishing. SetApp's going to help you do that. SetApp has a dedicated curation team that only selects the highest quality apps, so you know you're getting the goods with SetApp. You don't have to search for the best tools anymore because they're already there inside of SetApp. And it's a great value. Instead of paying thousands of dollars for separate licenses, there's just one flat monthly fee. And remember, the value isn't just on dollars alone, it's time spent. You're not going to be searching for things. You're going to be able to go into SetApp and find the apps that you enjoy using that are going to fill the needs that you have on your MacBook, on your iMac. And there are some crossovers now to iPhones and iPads. So there's support for iOS companion apps like Ulysses, which is what I use for writing, To-Do, Tasky. There's so many already there, and there are new apps added to SetApp regularly. Updates are free, and all the apps are full featured pro versions. So what are you waiting for? Head over to setapp.com to try SetApp free for a week. And if you like SetApp, plans start at just $9.99 a month. That's a no-brainer. Use SetApp for as long as it's useful. And that's going to be a long time because I'm using SetApp now, and I can guarantee you, you're going to find something, plenty of things, lots of things inside of SetApp that's going to be useful for you. So head over to setapp.com. That's SETAPP.com. Give it a try for a week and then up the ante and get that $9.99 per month subscription. You will not regret it. Give SetApp a go. It literally is the antidote for your app searching needs on your Mac. Give SetApp a try today. You know, people kind of rail on social media. I don't. I think social media is a fantastic tool as long as you use it deliberately. And one of the things I like to use social media for my business is to sell things. I want people to know what I'm doing. I want to do some digital marketing, but I'm not that great at it. And I also don't have a lot of time to get great at it. That's why I'm glad I have Otis in my corner. Meet Otis. Otis is a digital marketing assistant, and Otis will help you target, optimize, and measure campaigns for entrepreneurs like you and small business owners like me. Or like you. You can acquire new customers that will love your business for all from an easy to use app. And that's the key. It's easy to use. You can create Facebook, Instagram, and Google ads all from the Otis app. I love that. And Otis's AI technology intuitively optimizes your daily budget to whichever platform is performing best. So you're not going to watch your money go out the window without it going to the right places that you need it to go to. That's really important, especially if you're not well-versed in the digital marketing space. Using the data that's already available to you, Otis will analyze your existing customers to retarget and find other people like them to target your ads too. So it's going to do some of that work for you, work that I don't really want to do, and I'm sure you don't either. You can manage and track all your results in real time from the Otis app, and Otis users see results for as little as $10 a day. That's amazing. So I want you to get started with Otis today. Otis is offering Productivity as Podcast listeners a 14-day free trial plus $50 in ad credit. But you have to go to meetotis.com/timecrafting to take advantage of this offer. That's meetotis.com/timecrafting, meetotis.com/timecrafting to get your 14-day free trial plus a $50 credit to get started. So again, meetotis.com/timecrafting. That's meetotis.com/timecrafting. Get your digital marketing in gear with some great automation from Otis today. And now let's get back to my conversation with Dave Delaney here on the Productivityist podcast. You and I are both comedy fans, and as we're talking about this, especially when we go back to the social media piece, I'm thinking of the quote from Patton Oswalt, who basically said, I'm paraphrasing here, but we don't have to agree we don't have to respect your opinion. We just have to acknowledge it. And right. I think that is a really interesting take on a form of being nice, you know, where it's as close. Like, do you think that a comment like that? So, for example, and we'll use this. We are recording this just in the interest of transparency. We're recording this on the day that the U.S. citizens are going to the polls, November 3rd, 2020. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously been a lot of vitriol online from both sides, right? You know, I mean, there's been that quote from Oswald, who to me really resonates, because I think it creates a nice edge for people, no matter what side of the fence they're on,
right,
to kind of sit on, if they're going to sit on a fence. But it also gives them permission to kind of say, okay, I'm going to go, no matter what side I'm on, I'm willing to, you know, like I said, acknowledge what you're thinking, but I don't have to respect it. Is that, to me, that's a form of niceness. What do you think? Because I think some people would say, no, he's being a jerk. You know, like unless you respect the opinion, then you're not being nice, which I don't think is the case.
Right. And that gets back to the idea of empathy, right?
Right.
Of thinking, okay, this person that I'm communicating with, or maybe attempting to communicate with, feels a completely different way. Or maybe they are voting for the opposite presidential candidate. You know, you have to think about like where they're coming from. It doesn't mean, again, it doesn't, like, there are legitimate jerks. There's legitimate racists. There's mm-hmm. legitimate homophobes and every other type of jerk under the sun. But these people have adopted this sort of thinking from somewhere.
Right.
It didn't. Right. So it's a matter of treating people with kindness and accepting, you know, accepting where they're coming from, not accepting their viewpoint necessarily, but thinking, at least considering where they're coming from with this. Maybe they feel a certain way for some reason, you know? It doesn't mean that you have to agree with everyone, you know, God forbid.
or get so bent out of shape that reason gets tossed out the window.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, you mentioned online with social media. I mean, you're not going to change minds on social.
No.
Right. You can have a conversation. I always say, if you want to talk with me about politics or religion, let's go get a beer.
Right. Right.
Or non-alcoholic beer. I'm off the piss, as it were. But, you know, because, and every once in a while I'll slip up and say something online, but 9 times out of 10, I avoid it. Just because, yeah, you're not changing minds, and you know, algorithms make sure of that.
Right. And what's interesting further to that is, even if you post something without the intention of changing minds, so if you were to say, here's how I stand, but by virtue of posting, which I don't think is wrong or wrong or right or whatever, it's I mean, that's the whole point. It's your platform. You should be doing what you want to do with it. But you cannot control what the interpretation of your posting is. You cannot say, by posting this, the next person can't comment on it. I mean, you could turn off comments, but the point is that, you only have control over the way you behave. And if you behave in a nice manner, then you're taking the high ground in so many ways.
Right. And you're touching on a point too, about also how what you say can be misunderstood.
Right.
Right. So, and an example of this is I worked for a company years ago, and we worked in this open office concept. Now, of course, being from Canada and living and working in the US, I worked for this company. And so it was an open office. There was some confusion about a project that I was kind of leading up I turned that on and off.
No, it's project. What are you talking about?
Project. And so I wrote this email and broke it down very clearly, very concisely, like bullets, like, here are the key things you need to know about this project. And, you know, bum, bum, bum. And I reread it, proofread it over and over again. And I was thinking, okay, this email is perfect. Like, everybody's going to be on the same page. Everyone's going to understand. And it was perfect. And just as I was signing, and as I was signing off on the email, I wrote, "And Bob's your uncle, Dave."
Right.
And I sent the email. And I started kind of, you know, I was all proud and I was looking around the room while everybody's heads are, you know, hidden behind their computers kind of working. And I felt so great that everybody was on the same page. And then one of the women I worked with lifts her head up and I noticed like other heads kind of moving, kind of looking a little confused. And finally, this guy that I worked with shouts, "Who's Bob?" And as it turns out, for many of your listeners, "Bob's your uncle" is very much a British saying that was adopted by Canadians, and yep. Most Americans are not familiar. Right. And so I ended up confusing everybody by the language I chose signing off on that email. So it's so important to consider that in how you communicate with people, you know, maybe refraining from using like slang or emojis or what have you, or use emojis to help. But yeah. It's important to make sure that if you want to come off nicely, you communicate nicely.
And I had Andrew Tarvin on the program before to talk about it. So Andrew, we'll link to that in the show notes as well. So that way, what I love about, and again, that's perspective, right? There's different perspectives of what nice is. And that's probably why when someone says, "Oh, that's nice." People go, you know, you will get people go, "Well, what do you mean?" You know, you'll get that like, "Huh?" Like there's this, maybe some insecurity wrapped around it as opposed to validation. Say again, same thing with the word "fine." I mean, if your newsletter was called "The Fine Maker," I'd be like, "Oh, is he making fine things or is he just like, yeah, this is okay."
Right. So yeah, right, right. So yeah, my newsletter "Nice Maker," is all about trying to make people nicer, but then also like learning these ideas. Right. So, and then I have this whole nice methodology that I use when I'm training companies, when I'm working with teams or with organizational leaders, you know, how to improve the way they communicate by doing it naturally, intentionally, cost-effectively, and effortlessly. And that's that nice sort of methodology that I use.
Well, and everybody here who's listening to this podcast, that's listened to my work for a while, knows how much I like frameworks because frameworks foster freedom, right? So it gives them, and the thing about what your framework does is it's got flexibility built into it and it's got personality built into it. And I think that's key, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Before I let you go, I just want to touch on a couple of more quick things. So if someone is struggling with being nice, they're maybe in a situation where they just don't see positivity as much as they should or as much as they can. And it seems rather dreary. Maybe they're not happy in the job that they have. Maybe they feel overwhelmed because they've got too many things that they're doing that they're not enjoying. What can they do to kind of rekindle that niceness fire that they so desperately or so dramatically need?
Well, first of all, if you are feeling that way, you know, reach out to me. You know, DaveDelaney.me. Drop by the website, give me a call, email me, tweet me. I'm more than happy to chat with you. You know, all my conversations with folks are confidential. So I'm not, you know, and I'm not trying to sell you something or anything like that. Let's just have a quick conversation. I might be able to help you work on, you know, on whatever that issue is, whatever's going on. Without knowing where this point is coming from, I mean, it's key for me to be able to have a conversation with someone. And so, you know, if you need a nice ear, reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help.
And finally, the last part of your newsletter is musical, right?
So right. Yeah.
What role do you think music plays in creating a nice atmosphere or a nice environment for someone?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's interesting to, so the nicemaker.co, by the way, for you guys to check out if you like, each newsletter, each edition, I end with a YouTube video of a song that I find is nice for some reason. and you know, you would be hard pressed to find anyone who does not like music. Right. And my musical tastes are quite varied.
Yeah. You've got an eclectic mix going on.
Definitely. Yeah. So, and So I like to, you know, it's every once in a while I'll include a song in the newsletter. Sometimes it's a song that everybody knows. Most of the time it's something you've never heard before or you wouldn't know. And it's so often I get replies to my newsletter saying, oh my gosh, this song is so crazy. It's great. Or, oh, I haven't heard that in so long. So if it can conjure up some good feelings, I try to keep the music positive whenever possible. One thing about the newsletter is I'm often tempted to give that song I share some context, like why I chose that song, what brought that song to my mind when I you know was putting together the newsletter, but decided to leave it as is and not explain why I chose that particular song. I haven't had anyone actually hit reply to my newsletter and ask me why I chose that song. And maybe I would tell them if they ask. But I think, you know, there's a lot of greatness in music. And if some music can change your mood to something a little more positive, then hey, let's do it.
Dave, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the program. Where can people keep up with you and your work and learn more about you?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Just drop by davedelaney.me. You'll find me there, or davedelaneyspeaks.com is another place you can find me.
Awesome, Dave. Thanks again for joining me today on the Productivityist Podcast.
Thanks, Mike.